Well, hello and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. The MSS crew would like to once again thank you for joining us here in the Fred Bertelsen Memorial Old Time Radio Room of RadioOutOfThePast.org. And this is your MSS host, Luis Jr., assisting with bringing to you yet another exciting and exhilarating internet broadcast of Michael's Saturday Night Surprise. Allow me to introduce the presenter for tonight's program. Her name is Joy Jackson. Yep, she needs no introduction, to be honest with you, ladies and gentlemen, because everybody should know who Joy Jackson is. But for those of you who don't, there she is. And she will be presenting for tonight's program. So if everyone could just please sit back, grab your favorite drinks and snacks, and enjoy the program. Joy, the microphone is yours.
Thanks, Luis. A couple of years ago, ART recorded a new drama called The Night Witches, about the lady pilots who fought in World War II in Russia. Steve Poole has written a prequel to that. So we take you back to a recent Russia for the flight of the Rodina.
Tonight, the American Radio Theater takes you back to the early days of the Soviet Union. This was a unique time in Russian history. The age of the czars had ended. The long civil war was finally over, and Russia began to catch up with the rest of the modern world. Skyscrapers rose in Moscow, dams harnessed the Volga, and electricity flowed into villages that had known only tallow candles since the days of the Mongols. Young men and women across Russia were encouraged to learn engineering, science, technology, electronics, and especially aviation. Flying clubs were set up all over the vast country to teach young men and women how to fly, usually in obsolete biplanes. When World War II broke out, these young pilots, both men and women, would become the backbone of the Soviet Air Force. Amateur pilots, flying for fun, graduated into killer aces, Korean War MiG pilots, and eventually cosmonauts. Tonight's story concerns a young Russian woman who fell in love with flying in the 1930s. Her name was Marina Raskova, and she is still known in Russia today as the Russian Amelia Earhart. In her career, Marina set many flying records and endured many challenges, but her greatest and most dangerous exploit was the flight of the Rodina. Rodina is the old Russian word for motherland, and it still stirs up deep feelings for love of country. Tonight, we dramatize for you the flight of the Rodina. As incredible as this story sounds, it is all based on what really happened to Marina and the brave crew of the aircraft they named the Rodina, the motherland. So put on your flight helmet and goggles, strap on your parachute, have some vodka handy, and be sure to buckle up. There's going to be a lot of turbulence ahead. And now, the flight of the Rodina, the motherland.
Yes, I remember Marina Raskova. Who could ever forget her? She was young, pretty. I can't say beautiful, but pretty. And the most confident woman you ever knew. We all loved her, all the young men of Russia, that is. And maybe many of the young women, too. She represented the freedom that we all longed for. The freedom of flight, of travel, of adventure, of challenge. Young people today don't know how magical it was to be able to fly. Now they just crowd onto a jumbo jet and cram earplugs into their brain. Back then, just to see an airplane above you soaring through the clouds would bring out the whole village. And if the plane landed near the village, well, it was like a visit by an archangel. Not all of us loved to fly. I myself never stepped foot on an airplane until after the war. I was terrified. My fingers dug into the armrest. I closed my eyes during the takeoff. Then, when things smoothed out, I peeked out the tiny window and there was Russia, as I had never imagined it before. Green and yellow and blue and vast. Endless. And then I thought of Marina and how she must have seen the same beautiful sight as she flew for thousands of miles over the motherland. And then my fear vanished, and I never feared flying again. Thank you, Marina. I will always remember you as young, adventurous and optimistic. Yes, I even remember the first time I heard your voice. It was many, many years ago, before the war, sometime in the 1930s. It was a tragic day, but your voice was full of hope and optimism.
This is Radio Moscow with some breaking international news. The American aviator Amelia Earhart has failed to arrive at her destination on a small island in the Pacific Ocean. On Friday midnight, she and her navigator left New Guinea, headed for Howard Island, some 2,500 miles away. They never arrived and are now 24 hours overdue. American Navy ships waiting near the island report that they picked up faint radio signals from Earhart's plane on Friday morning, but the signals soon faded with no sight of the aircraft. It is now believed that Amelia Earhart is lost at sea. To get our own perspective on this tragic development, we go to our reporter, Sergei Kuzmich, who is now at the Kremlin talking to our own Soviet Amelia Earhart, comrade Marina Raskova.
Thank you, Radio Moscow. This is Sergei Kuzmich at the Ministry of Aviation. I am standing here with comrade Lieutenant Marina Raskova. Comrade Raskova, you have often been called the Amelia Earhart of the Soviet Union. How does this news of the death of the American Amelia Earhart affect you?
Death? Why do you say death? It has been only 24 hours. Much too soon to say death.
But can anyone survive in the ocean for that long without rescue?
Of course they can. Especially aviators. Aviators are born survivors. We have to survive at high altitudes with little oxygen. Survive freezing cold. Survive going hours and hours without sleep, never letting go of the controls. Survive being blinded by the fog while trying to find a tiny airstrip in the middle of nowhere. We are born survivors, and I know that if she survived the landing in the ocean, Amelia Earhart will certainly survive until she is rescued.
Comrade Raskova, that is the most optimistic statement I have heard all day.
Well, yes, you have to be optimistic to be a flyer. We say only two kinds of people get into airplanes, fools and optimists.
And you are?
I consider myself a foolish optimist.
Seriously, it must be nearly impossible for even an experienced flyer like Amelia Earhart to find a small island in the Pacific Ocean. Isn't this a case of asking too much of a pilot?
How to answer that question? First, understand that the pilot, no matter how talented or how well known, doesn't find anything. It is the navigator that must find the island, and if the navigator is good, well, the pilot is just a passenger. From what I have learned, her navigator, an American named Frank Noonan, is an excellent navigator. Aviators today need to work in pilot-navigator teams if they want to arrive alive.
What about Lindbergh? He had no navigator.
Lindbergh was lucky. He flew east and hit Europe. How could he miss? Today, to find the tiny airstrips around the globe, you need more than luck. You need to know the science of navigation.
I understand navigation is your specialty, Comrade Raskova.
How did you guess? Please, I don't mean to belittle the accomplishments of Amelia Earhart. It takes great courage and endurance to fly aircraft for thousands of miles like she has. But for precision flying, you must have precision navigation. This is what I teach at the Air Ministry. precision navigation, and I am proud to say that the Soviet Union has the best aviation navigators in the world.
Well, there you have it. Based on the expert opinion of Comrade Lieutenant Raskova, Amelia Earhart may be overdue, but it is too soon to say she is lost.
It may take 100 years for me to declare her lost.
Thank you, Comrade. If Amelia Earhart could hear your words, she would soar on the wings of your optimism. Back to you, Radio Moscow. This is Sergei Kuzmich signing off.
It hasn't been 100 years yet. So still too soon to say that Earhart is lost. But why would Marina say such a strange thing in the first place? Did she have a premonition of her own fate? When I think back to her words, it was as if she was telling us, "Don't ever give up. Don't ever give up on me." Some time passed. Marina and other aviators made the headlines now and then for new distance records and altitude records. But the records came and were broken and came again, and soon records faded from the headlines. Life under Stalin was turning evil. War was looming. And the dream of flying for adventure was, well, just a dream. Then, I think it was in 1938, Marina came flying back on the scene with a challenge that took the whole country by surprise. The dream was alive again.
This is Radio Moscow with breaking news. The Ministry of Aviation announced today that 3 women aviators will attempt the longest non-stop direct flight in aviation history. They propose to fly from Moscow to the farthest tip of Siberia, a distance of over 5,000 miles. We now transfer you to our correspondent at the Kremlin, Sergei Kuzmich. Go ahead, comrade.
This is Sergei Kuzmich reporting from the Air Ministry at the Kremlin, where a press conference is in session as I speak. We are still learning the details of this flight, which will be a historic, non-stop crossing of the Soviet Union by a team of women aviators. Just a moment. Yes? Yes, I have just now been given a list with the names of the crew. It looks like Captain Valentina Grizodubova will be the pilot. Lieutenant Polina Osipenko will be the co-pilot. And Lieutenant Marina Raskova will be the navigator. Our listeners may remember that we interviewed Comrade Raskova some time ago. I seem to recall it was when the American aviator Amelia Earhart disappeared. Perhaps we could... That applause you hear is for the air crew who have just entered the auditorium. They are being introduced by Air Marshal Krupinski himself. If we can just get closer to the stage, I believe it will be a chance to ask a question or two.
Comrade pilot!
Yes, you!
Comrade pilot, how far will you be flying?
From Moscow to Komsomolsk in the Far East.
Yes, but how far is that?
You do research. Look it up in an atlas.
I'm afraid I left my atlas back in grade school.
Then I believe our navigator can help you with your geography. Lieutenant Kraskova?
Yes, Captain. I have calculated the distance at more than 5,000 miles.
And how long will you be flying?
Until we land!
Comrade Navigator!
I estimate flight time at least 25 hours, but high altitude winds are very unpredictable. It could be hours more or hours less.
In any case, we will have enough fuel to stay airborne for up to 27 hours.
Comrade Co-Pilot Lieutenant Osipenko, if I may ask a question...
Please do.
I understand, Comrade Osipenko, that your father is just a Ukrainian farmer. How does that qualify you for a mission like this?
What difference does that make? My father designed aircraft. Lieutenant Raskova's father was an opera singer. Yet we three have been chosen for this heroic mission based on the skills we learned under our Soviet system of class and gender equality. If you think I am any more qualified because my father made aircraft while Polina's father put bread on your table, then you don't understand communism.
I'm very, very sorry, comrade. I didn't...
I believe this interview is over.
Comrade Pilot, one last question, if I may.
All right. Just one question.
Have you decided on a name for your aircraft?
Lieutenant Ospinko, why don't you answer this one?
Yes. Well, since we are an all-women crew, we thought it would be appropriate to name our ship the Rodina. The Motherland.
Rodina?
Motherland.
All-woman crew.
Mother Russia.
Mother Russia.
Rodina. The Motherland.
Rodina!
Ure! 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 Ure!
Radio Moscow, this is Kuzmich. Are you receiving me? I am at the airport now, and we are finished setting up. Test my levels, please.
We read you, Sergei. Good signal strength, but a lot of background noise. You want to do a live report now, or wait for the top of the hour?
Nothing much to report now. The plane, the Rodina, is about 100 feet behind me, and there seems to be a lot of preparation going on. We have been told that takeoff is still scheduled for tomorrow morning.
Anyone you can interview?
Well, that's the problem. My mic won't reach very far, and everyone is way over there. Oh, I think I see Lieutenant Raskova, you know, the navigator near the plane. Let me go over to her and see if she would be willing to come back here for an interview.
Хорошо. We will wait to hear back from you.
Comrade Raskova! Comrade Raskova, is that you?
Yes. What do you want? We are very busy right now.
Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I am Sergei Kuzmich from Radio Moscow. I wondered if you would have time for a quick interview.
I remember you. Sergei Ivanovich?
Thank you. Marina Mikhailovna, if I may call you that?
Of course. I remember now. We talked before, when Amelia Earhart disappeared, right?
That's right. So do you think she is still alive? Perhaps she and Frank Noonan are stranded on a tropical island somewhere, living in their own private Garden of Eden. That wouldn't be so bad.
Oh, you men always think alike. If I were Amelia, Frank Noonan and I would be making a new airplane out of coconuts.
I believe you would be. Marina, do you have time for a short interview? Our listeners would love to hear from you.
One last time?
Before your departure.
Sorry. I said we were very busy. We will have plenty of time to talk when we reach Siberia.
Oh, well, thank you for your time.
While you were here, what do you think of our plane?
Truly, it is unlike any aircraft I have ever seen before. I've never seen anything so big. All of this for just the three of you?
The wingspan is over 100 feet, nearly as long as the Wright brothers' first flight. And these two engines deliver 800 horsepower each. We can reach speeds of over 200 miles an hour.
Very impressive. This is the first of its kind, I believe?
Yes. Well, no, it's the second. The first one crashed when the tail fell off.
You're joking.
No, it's true. That's why we have test flights and test pilots. This one has a reinforced tail, see?
I see. And what is this funny glass ball on the nose of the plane?
Oh, but that's my home. I call it the fishbowl. Want to take a look? Here, climb up the ladder and stick your head inside.
All right. It's so tiny.
Well, it has all the room I need for me and my instruments.
What instruments? All I see is a stopwatch and a slide rule.
Well, there is also a sextant under the seat.
That's all you were taking?
Well, that's all I need.
Well, how do you get inside the rest of the plane? I don't see any other door or hatch.
Well, I cannot get into the rest of the plane. All the flight controls are blocking the way. I have to crawl into the fishbowl in Moscow and crawl out in Siberia.
So you're going to be sitting in here for 24 hours?
Well, of course.
Marina Mikhailovna, don't do this. This is insane.
What are you talking about?
Well, it's not like you're flying to Paris. You're going 5,000 miles to some tiny airstrip in Siberia. If you don't find it, you will have to crash land with you trapped in that fishbowl.
But it is my job to find it. I will navigate by the stars and by the map. We will cross the Ural Mountains and then due east to Lake Baikal. From there, it is southeast to the Amur River. We just follow the Amur up to Komsomolsk. I know the route with my eyes closed.
Once again, you are the optimist.
Foolish optimist. I really must get back to work, Sergei Ivanovich. Will I see you in Siberia?
It will take me a week to get there by train. By then you will be back in Moscow for a hero's welcome.
Now who is the optimist? Until we meet again, Sergei Ivanovich. До свидания.
До свидания, Марина Михайловна.
Good morning, comrades. It is 7 a.m. Moscow Standard Time. Our top news story, the heroic flight of the Rodina, is about to commence from the Kodinka Aerodrome outside of Moscow. We take you now to our special correspondent, Sergei Kuzmich, who is at the aerodrome to witness this historic event. Please give us your report, Comrade Kuzmich.
Thank you, Radio Moscow. It is a beautiful, crisp morning here, the 24th of September, 1938. A date that will live in Soviet aviation history as the all-woman crew of the Rodina, the motherland, prepares to embark on their epic, non-stop journey across the Soviet Union, a flight that will last 24 hours and cover 5,000 miles. The Rodina has been warming up her engines for 20 minutes now. A large aircraft with long, tapered wings to better soar on the high-altitude winds. The crew is all aboard. I can see the navigator, Lieutenant Raskova, in her glass observation dome she calls the fishbowl. She is waving to the ground crew and the assembled reporters. Lieutenant Raskova will sit in the fishbowl for the next 24 hours, guiding the Rodina over the vast lands to the east. There is a tense air of anticipation here as we wait. Oh, I can see the pilot, Captain Grizidubova, signaling to the ground crew. Wheel chocks are being removed. The engines are revving up. Looks like takeoff will be any moment now. The Rodina is starting to move down the runway. Very slow at first. The plane has been stripped of all non-essential equipment, but is loaded to the max with aviation fuel for its long flight. This will be one of the heaviest takeoffs ever attempted. Now the aircraft has stopped. The engines are slowing. Is there a problem? The crew seems to be doing one last check. Ah, the engines are revving up again. Can you hear that, Moscow? The Rodina is rolling forward faster now, past our viewing stand. Lieutenant Raskova is waving both hands to us reporters, and we are waving back. Good luck, Rodina! The speed has increased, but the plane is still on the ground. Very heavy takeoff. The wheels are now just coming off the runway. It is flying now, just a few feet off the ground. Oh, I wish you could see this beautiful sight, Moscow, as the Rodina heads down the runway and into the rising sun. The plane is 20, 30 feet off the ground now, going faster and faster. The engine's roaring. Landing gear is coming up. 100 feet, 200 feet. The Rodina is banking slowly, directly into the sunrise. Sunrise in Moscow, but it is already afternoon in Siberia, 5,000 miles away. The Rodina is now just a dot on the horizon. We can still hear her engines. Sorry, Moscow, I'm much overcome with emotion now to have witnessed such a historic event. I will turn the program back over to you in the studio and rejoin you shortly. This is Sergei Kuzmich, signing off.
Thank you for your excellent reporting, Comrade Kuzmich. All of us here are just now beginning to breathe again. Stay tuned to Radio Moscow for regular updates on the heroic flight of the Rodina. Good evening, this is Radio Moscow with the 6 o'clock news. For our lead story, we turn to our special correspondent, Sergei Kuzmich, who is following the historic flight of the Rodina aircraft and its all-woman crew. Go ahead, Comrade Kuzmich.
Thank you, Radio Moscow. The latest update, since leaving Moscow at dawn this morning, the Rodina has flown over 2,000 miles and has crossed the Ural Mountains. It is now preparing for the nighttime portion of its journey. From now until dawn tomorrow in Siberia, the Rodina will have to navigate by the stars, just like a ship at sea. This is where the endurance and training of the flight crew, especially the navigator, Lieutenant Raskova, will be tested. The pilot and co-pilot will be able to spell each other, even take a quick nap, but the navigator must stay vigilant all through the dark night. Safe journey, Rodina! Please stay tuned to Radio Moscow for further updates on this historic flight.
It is now midnight in Moscow, and before we sign off for the night, we bring you one last update from our special correspondent, Sergei Kuzmich, on the heroic flight of the Rodina. Go ahead, Comrade Kuzmich.
Thank you, Radio Moscow. Well, there's nothing much to report. There was a radio transmission about 2 hours ago which reported heavy cloud cover obscuring the ground and the sky. As a result, the Rodina signaled that she would be gaining altitude to try to break through the clouds so that the navigator, Lieutenant Raskova, could get a location fix from the stars. That was the last transmission received from the Rodina. Please join us tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. for our first report of the day. Good night, Moscow. This is Sergei Kuzmich, signing off.
Good morning, comrade citizens. It is 6 a.m. Moscow Standard Time. This is Radio Moscow with your wake-up program. First, our top news. Comrade Khrushchev, the Minister for Agriculture, reports that the Ukraine will have a record grain harvest this year, exceeding their 5-year plan goal. The Ministry of Labor reports that worker satisfaction is at an all-time high. In sports...
And that is how we knew something was wrong. In those days, you only knew what you were told, and what you were not told, you didn't know. It was as if the Rodina and its crew had never existed. The topic could never be discussed again. What topic? It seems hard to believe now, but in those days, we were actually used to seeing history written and then erased before our very eyes. What plane? What crew? Back to work, comrades, as if nothing had ever happened. Because officially, nothing had ever happened.
Sergei Ivanovich, you are out of your mind.
But I have to go to Siberia. You must let me go.
There is no point in going. The story is dead. The Rodina is dead. The women are dead. And if you keep digging into this, you'll be dead.
We don't know that they are dead.
We do know that they never arrived in Komsomolsk. We know that their plane ran out of fuel hours ago, and we know that when a plane crashes in Siberia, well, it just disappears. It may be months or years before they find the wreckage, if they ever do. A flight of the Rodina is a failure, Sergei. And the Kremlin does not allow failures.
Right now, search parties are looking for them all over Siberia while we sit on our warm backsides here in Moscow.
And they have found nothing. It is over, Sergei.
Someone once told me you have to wait 100 years to be sure that it is over.
You are talking nonsense, Sergei. Stop wasting my time. If they are alive, we would know. If they are not alive, well, we don't want to know. That is the official position from the Kremlin. Permission to travel denied.
One last argument, please.
Sergei.
What if they are alive, but lost? Lost in Siberia? And what happens if, I mean, when they are found? That will be an even bigger story. This is a whole new angle. The search for the Rodina. The rescue of the Rodina. You know our listeners want to know how this story ends, for better or worse.
Very well, Sergei Ivanovich. Against my better judgment, you can go on two conditions.
Yes, yes.
First condition, you will not submit any reports unless the Rodina is found and the crew is alive and safe. All three of them.
Yes, I understand. All three of them. And the second condition?
If the first condition is not met, do not come back from Siberia.
So, Sergei Kuzmich was able to get a precious travel permit to journey to Siberia. It took him 7 long days to get to Komsomolsk by train. And when he finally got there, miracle of miracles, a search plane had spotted the Rodina. It was sitting in a clearing some 100 miles north of Komsomolsk, in the middle of nowhere. More amazing yet, the search plane saw 2 women standing on the wings of the Rodina, waving wildly. Just 2 women. A rescue party was sent out immediately, chopping their way through the taiga, the dense, frozen forest of Siberia. Sergei followed after them and reached the Rodina exactly 10 days after it had left from Moscow. Here is what happened next.
It's the Rodina!
Kicking my plane.
Hey, hello there. By the fire. Hello.
Hello. Who are you?
I am Sergei Kuzmich from Moscow Radio. I mean, Radio Moscow. I can't believe it's really the Rodina. I never thought to see it again.
Well, take your time looking. It's not going anywhere.
You must be frozen. Come, sit by the fire.
Thank you. You are Lieutenant Osipenko.
Oh, please, just call me Polina.
And you are Captain
Don't butcher my name. Just call me Valentina.
Pilot Valentina and co-pilot Polina. And where is Navigator Marina? Marina Mikhailovna Laskova.
She is out there, in the taiga.
And why is she not here?
She is out there, looking for us.
What do you mean, looking for us? Why isn't she here with you right now?
She is looking for us, and we are waiting for her to find us.
I don't understand. Where is the rescue party from Komsomolsk?
Oh, they got here about 2 days ago. Now they are out looking for Marina. But I doubt if they will find her.
Instead, Marina will find us. That is what she promised.
That is what she promised? I don't understand. What are you still doing here? Why didn't you go back to Komsomolsk with the rescue party?
Because we are waiting for Marina to show up.
She is lost in the taiga. And you two are just sitting here by the fire.
Why aren't you looking for her? What did you do to her? What happened to Marina?
Calm down, Comrade Kuzmich, and we will explain.
As we had to explain to that rescue party already, we are not leaving here without Marina.
Polina and I have made a vow. We will stay here until Marina arrives, or until the snow covers us.
No! No, you can't do that! If you are alive, you must go back! People must know you are safe! Even if Marina is dead, you still...
Dead? Who said anything about dead? It is much too soon to say dead. Why are you laughing?
It's Amelia Earhart all over again.
Amelia Earhart? What are you talking about?
I'm sorry. I am just cold and tired. Exhausted. Please, please tell me what happened to all of you.
I remember you now. You were at our takeoff in Moscow.
And at a press conference once in the Kremlin, yes?
Yes, yes, but it seems like years ago. Since you left, I have been reporting your progress on Radio Moscow.
This is Sergei Kuzmich, special correspondent, with the latest update on the flight of the Rodina, every hour on the hour. Until you disappeared, that is.
Poor man. He is out of a job.
Maybe he should try flying. I hear there are many vacancies.
So, Sergei.
Sergei Ivanovich.
Sergei Ivanovich. What was your last report?
Midnight, Moscow time. You had crossed the Urals and had encountered a thick cloud. You were going to fly higher so that Marina could see the stars. Just like a ship at sea, I reported. And nothing.
Oh, a ship at sea. You have the soul of a poet, Sergei Ivanovich.
We did climb. Up and up. 15,000 feet, 18,000. We went to oxygen. 20,000, 22,000. The temperature inside the plane dropped to 50 degrees below zero. We were freezing to death. And then at 28,000 feet, we sailed out of that cloud and into a sea of stars.
It is the comrade pilot who has the soul of a poet.
Oh, it was beautiful. The cloud was now a white sea below us, stretching to the horizon. Perfectly flat, like snow on the steppes.
Beautiful and deadly. Marina got a fix. She put us somewhere near Lake Baikal. I ordered Polina to radio our position immediately.
I had to take my gloves off to operate the radio. My fingers froze to the metal. See? This is where my fingerprints used to be. Maybe I can rob banks now.
Polina, just tell the story.
Sorry. Well, I powered up the radio and pop, 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 pop.
Pop, 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 pop.
Like champagne corks.
All the vacuum tubes in the radio exploded. The cold shattered the glass when the filaments heated up.
Now we are at 28,000 feet without a radio, low on oxygen, freezing to death, and a whiteout below us.
Each of us thinking, why did I learn to fly?
The only options were to stay up there and die of the cold or head back into the cloud and wait for sunrise. Marina estimated sunrise in about 3 hours. Then we should be able to dive below the cloud so Marina could get a fix from the land.
Unless the cloud went all the way down to the ground.
Amazing.
Back we went. 25,000, 20,000. We went all the way down to 8,000 feet. The temperature was minus 20 degrees, but it felt like the tropics to us.
And then we just kept flying east, waiting for the dawn.
Gradually, the dark cloud grew lighter. At last, Marina said she had enough light to identify land patterns. If we could just spot the Amur River, we could make it. We went lower. 7,000. 6,000. At 5,000 feet, we popped out of the bottom of the cloud. What we saw is almost impossible to describe.
It was like Alice going through the looking glass. Everything was reversed.
What do you mean?
Now the white snow was above us.
And the black sky was below us. There was no land.
What?
We had flown completely past Siberia, and now we were over the ocean.
No!
Immediately, I ordered Polina to make a hard right turn back to the west. Then I checked the fuel gauge. We had only 30 minutes of fuel left. We had to find land or drown in the sea.
Yes? Well, what happened then? How did you get here? Where is Marina?
I am sorry, Sergei Ivanovich. This part is difficult for me. Marina is not here because I ordered her to bail out of the plane.
What? You ordered her to bail out? You ordered her? You killed her on purpose! You murderer!
Sergei, calm down. No, it's not like that. We had to lose weight.
So you just threw her out the window like an empty bottle?
Quiet! I'm trying to make you understand. I didn't murder Marina. I was trying to save her life.
By making her jump out of a perfectly good airplane? That's your idea of saving a life?
Sergei, please listen. Valentina is right.
Please calm down and listen. You may be the only person who will ever hear this story. As a reporter, you must get the details right.
I'm sorry. Please, continue.
Where was I? Right. We headed west, low on fuel, and not knowing how far we were from land. Then Marina spotted a coastline. That Marina. Even in the gloom, she could identify the coast was the mainland and not some island. We were over land. But what land?
It was the taiga. 1,000 miles of trees and nowhere to set down.
Time was running out. Fuel was running out. I ordered Polina to jettison everything we didn't need to reduce weight and give us a few more minutes flying time.
The first thing to go overboard was that damn radio. And then the oxygen tanks, gifts from Moscow, a crate of champagne, and finally, the vodka. Though I did save 3 bottles for the 3 of us.
The plane immediately gained altitude. We were flying on fumes, but we were up to 6,000 feet. The taiga was a thick carpet of trees below us. Then the fuel gauge hit 0. The engine sputtered and we started our descent. As we passed through 5,000 feet, I could see there was nowhere to land. We were all going to die in the crash.
So, you threw out the champagne and the vodka. And then you threw out Marina, right?
Sergei, please understand. Marina was trapped in that bubble, that fishbowl. I knew that when we crashed, she would be the first to die. I ordered her to jump to save her. To save her. I can't say it, Polina.
To save Marina so she could find our bodies. There was no way we could survive a crash in the taiga, but Marina could live by bailing out.
I ordered her to jump. She refused. She said we would fly together and die together. So I said we needed to lose more weight. Then she agreed. She said her weight would give us a few more minutes flying time. Finally, I said, when we crash, please find us. She understood. Her last words were, I promise to find you. Safe landing.
And then she jumped. Go on, Valentina. Tell him the rest.
We continued down. 3,000 feet. 2,000 feet. Polina and I said our farewells and prepared for the inevitable end. And then, at about 1,000 feet, I could see a clearing in the taiga ahead. A frozen swamp. This frozen swamp. I was able to line up on it. We kept the landing gear up. They would have ripped the wings off. Flaps down. Now we are skimming the treetops. Are we going to make it? The props hit the trees, and then we were over the clearing. Level out, nose up, full flaps. Land by trying not to land, my old instructor would say. Vibration, the tail is down. Ease down on the nose. Level, level. Now the fuselage is skimming over the swamp. We are bouncing, hard. The straps are breaking my shoulders. Can't see. Are we going to crash into the other side? Speed slowing, loud crackling noises. Fuselage is breaking up. A skid to the right. The wing dips, hits the ground. We lurch around. And then we stop.
And here we are, the final resting place of the Rodina.
Sergei, where are you going?
I need to see something.
You're going back to look at the fishbowl, yes?
So it is not even cracked. Marina would have survived the crash.
But Sergei Ivanovich, the few minutes that Marina gave us got us to this clearing. If she had stayed aboard, we would have crashed back there in the taiga and all three of us would have died.
Those minutes saved our lives. And now we're waiting here for Marina to find us.
As she promised.
So take a seat and wait with us. I'll make some tea.
How far back did Marina jump?
Show him the map.
Look here. Marina put an X on the map, and next to it the word jump.
Yes, but exactly where is that?
It would help if I knew exactly where we are.
We think it's maybe 30 or 40 miles from here.
30 or 40 miles? You know what you are, both of you. You're mad! Insane!
You want sugar with your tea?
It has been 10 days since you crashed.
Landed!
All right, landed. How long do you think one woman can survive in the taiga? Even Siberians die within a week. How much food did she have with her? How much water? Enough for 10 days? Enough to fight her way through 30 or 40 miles of frozen taiga? Well, say something. What is it you're not telling me?
After we landed, I inspected the fishbowl. All of Marina's emergency supplies and water were still there, even her compass, as if she had forgotten to take them.
And you know that Marina never forgets anything.
So, Marina left her supplies for you two, in case you survived the crash. And then she jumped into the taiga with nothing for herself. You made her jump to save her life. She left her supplies to save your lives. Perfect. It's like the gift of the Magi.
The what?
The gift of the Magi. It's some American story where everyone sacrifices themselves for the other person with big, happy American ending. Except in the Russian version, everyone dies.
Sit down, Sergei Ivanovich. Sit down and wait with us.
You mean sit down and die with you? You know she is not coming.
She will come.
How do you know that?
Because I know Marina.
Well, you have me there. Yes, I know Marina, too. If anyone can survive 10 days in the taiga without food or water, it would be Marina. All right, I will wait with you. In fact, I will have to die with you. The truth is, I was ordered not to come back unless it was with all three of you alive and safe. So I also cannot go back without Marina. I will join your vow. I vow to wait here until Marina arrives, or until the snows cover us. Agreed?
Agreed.
Agreed. The tea is ready. Hand me your cup.
I brought a bottle of cognac all the way from Moscow. Should I open it?
Oh, please, no. Polina saved three bottles of vodka from the Rodina for the three of us. And you have your cognac. But we agreed not to open them until we are all together again. Agreed?
Agreed. So, now we wait.
It will be dark soon. We will need more firewood. We have been keeping the fire burning all night and all day as a beacon.
Understood, Comrade Pilot. I will gather a load of firewood while there is still light.
Thank you, Comrade Reporter. And don't get eaten by a tiger.
Goodbye, Motherland. Please don't forget. Goodbye, pretty eyes. Forgive goodbye. Forgive goodbye.
Help!
What was that? Is somebody out there?
Help!
I am over here! I can't see you! Please, call out louder!
Help!
Marina! Marina, is that you? Oh, Marina! Marina! Oh, Marina!
I can't walk anymore.
Marina, you are alive! You're safe now!
Must go on. Must find Rodina.
It's right here, Marina. You did it! You found it! You found them! Here, let me carry you.
Did they survive?
Yes, Marina. Valentina and Bulina both survived. They landed in this clearing. They're waiting for you.
Success. Good success. Who are you? I can't see well.
Don't you remember, Marina Mikhailovna? I'm Sergei Ivanovich from, well, formerly from Radio Moscow.
Yes, yes. I remember you. We talked about Amelia Earhart, yes?
Yes, Marina. Aviators are born survivors, you told me. Did you build an airplane from coconuts while you were out there in the taiga?
Coconuts? You are a funny man.
Look, Marina, can you see the campfire? That is where you will find them.
I see the light. Put me down. Must walk.
Careful, Marina. Hold on to me.
Lieutenant! Navigator! Raskova! Reporting!
Marina! Marina!
Is that you, Polina? Not Dream?
Marina, it is really me. You found us, Marina. You found us!
Simple. Just head west.
And you did it without a compass.
The Rodina? Where?
It's right here, Marina. She won't fly again. But she got us here. All of us.
Sit down by the fire, Marina. I made some tea.
Yes. So cold. Thirsty.
Here's a blanket.
Good tea, Polina.
I hope you don't mind. I took it from your emergency rations.
Oh, yes. I forgot to take them with me.
Yes, Marina, we know. Marina, you saved our lives. If you hadn't jumped, we would never have reached this clearing. I am so sorry to make you.
Command pilot, you made the correct command decision. It saved you. Saved all our lives.
Oh, Marina.
Marina.
Sergei, come to the fire. Where did you find her?
Just beyond the tree line. She was crawling.
I just couldn't walk anymore. How long?
You were in the taiga for 10 days and nights. With no food or shelter. For 10 days in the taiga.
No. How long was the flight?
The engine clock read 26 hours and 29 minutes.
So the flight of the Rodina lasted 26 hours and 29 minutes and 10 days.
That's right, Marina. Now that you are here, the flight of the Rodina has officially ended.
Oh, I wish I had a camera to record this historic moment. This heroic moment.
Oh, shut up, reporter. Didn't you say something about a bottle of cognac?
And see, Marina, I saved you a bottle of vodka.
Oh, thank you, Polina. Let's open it. I think I could use a drink about now.
If I may, I would like to propose a toast to the three heroes of the Rodina.
No. First, we must drink to this old bird. She's a little beat up now and won't fly again, but she got us here alive. And as my old instructor would say, any trip that you arrive alive is a successful trip. So, to the real hero, the Rodina!
To the Rodina!
The Rodina!
The motherland.
Nastroba!
So, the crew of the Rodina, all three of them, were rescued from oblivion and returned to Moscow as heroes. In fact, Comrade Stalin gave each of them the highest award our country had to offer. Hero of the Soviet Union. They were the first women ever to receive such an honor. The flight of the Rodina was declared a success, and an aviation record was set. The longest non-stop flight by an all-woman crew lasting 26 hours, 29 minutes, and 10 days. In addition to the award, Stalin gave each woman 25,000 rubles and commissioned postage stamps with their portraits, each wearing their furry flight caps and goggles. And then the women heroes went back to their jobs as aviators and instructors. Sadly, funny little Polina died in a crash just a year later. She was 31 years old. The region of Siberia where the Rodina landed was renamed Osipenko in her honor, the daughter of Ukrainian farmer. Sergei Kuzmich, having fulfilled the conditions set by Radio Moscow, went back to his old job reporting on aviation matters, just in time for the outbreak of World War II. The war changed everything and everyone, and challenged all of us as we had never been challenged before. Valentina Grizidbova, having proven her ability to fly long distances, was put in command of the 101st Long-Range Air Regiment, which bombed the Nazi troops and ferried much-needed supplies to the besieged city of Leningrad. She also made dangerous night landings behind enemy lines to bring supplies to partisans, and then to ferry war orphans to safety. Marina Raskova, already so famous for her exploits with the Rodina, went on to become even more famous as the founder of the 588th Night Bomber Regiment, better known to history as the Night Witches. Her all-woman crews, flying at night in obsolete biplanes with bombed German armies and airfields, helping to destroy the morale of the enemy and shorten the war. Never one to sit behind the desk, Marina also led daring daytime raids on Nazi positions. It was on one of these raids that...
This is Sergei Kuzmich reporting for Radio Moscow. Today I have some sad news to report. Our beloved hero, Marina Raskova, died this morning while attempting a difficult landing at the Battle of Stalingrad. She was only 30 years old. I have just been told that Comrade Raskova, the first woman hero of the Soviet Union, will be given the first state funeral of the war. Her body will be placed with honor in the walls of the Kremlin. We will all miss you, Marina Mikhailovna, for your courage, for your amazing endurance, and for your optimism. This is Sergei Kuzmich, signing off.
So the only crew member of the Rodina to survive the war was Comrade Pilot Valentina. She lived to see the fall of communism and the end of the Soviet Union that had so honored her. She died in Moscow in 1993 at the age of 83, with many, many medals of valor at her side. The Soviet Union was gone, but the new Russia also took pride in these brave women. Valentina was commemorated on a new postage stamp in 2010, and Marina got her new stamp in 2012. Both stamps show pretty portraits of the young women, this time without the furry caps. And in the background, the outline and the root of the Rodina, the motherland. I am happy to see our new country is remembering heroes from the old country. Something good will survive after all. For me, for all my long years and many adventures, my fondest memory is of sitting around the campfire in the middle of nowhere, next to a broken airplane, with the brave crew of the Rodina, and sharing a glass of vodka with these heroes. This is Sergei Kuzmich, signing off.
You have been listening to American Radio Theater's presentation of The Flight of the Rodina. This was an original play by Stephen L. Poole and was based on true events, produced and directed by Joy Jackson. In our cast you heard Mark Whitworth as the narrator, Greg Porter as Sergei Kuzmich, Joy Jackson as Marina Raskova, Beth Schlansky as Valentina Grizodubova, Magpie McLaurin as Polina Ospenko, Nick Richa as Radio Moscow, Pat McNally as Reporter 1, Dan Schindler as the News Director, Terry Elder as Reporter 2. Additional support from the ART Ensemble. Sound effects by Penny Swanberg and Marilyn Wilt. I'm Chuck Royalty, your announcer. This is ART, American Radio Theater.
Gee, that's all the time I've got for today. Please check out our website, www.AmericanRadioTheater.org, for more podcasts. We put up a new one every month. Hey, over to you, Louise.
Okay, JJ, thanks a lot, and great work. Well, folks, it is that time again. The MSS Express has reached the end of the line, so I am going to have to gently but firmly conduct each and every one of you off of the train. But don't worry, we will be back again next week, hooking you up with the high-quality OTR surprises that are within our powers to produce. So, as usual, if you have any questions, comments, requests, or maybe even a complaint, please address them via email to micamelli@earthlink.net. That's micamelli@earthlink.net. We will soon be releasing the key and turning over the room to you, the listening audience. Please do with it as you wish, for as long as you wish. But just remember, be nice to one another. Otherwise, myself and JJ will be coming after you. So, have a great night, a great weekend, and goodbye.